All right, so if you're with us for the first time, or maybe come back in a while, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, and we've been going through the book of Hebrews and studying. I'm excited about this morning, and so let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for always for the opportunity, Lord, to come and study your word and learn and grow and become the men and women that you call us to be. Lord, we thank you for the folks that are here, and we pray for the ones that are not here going about. Some folks are sick. We've got a lot of folks sick, so we need Jesus' name, Lord. We just pray for them. Let you lift them up and help them and give them the strength and courage to get over the sickness. And a lot of folks are traveling and dealing with family issues, so we just plead the blood of Jesus over those family issues. Lord, we just pray for your will to be done in those folks' lives. And Lord, thank you for our children. Lord, pray for our children's ministry and our youth ministry. Lord, thank you for the youth and the young folks. And Lord, we just trust you, and you give us guidance and wisdom as we move forward in this year with the youth and the children. Lord, open up windows and doors. And, Lord, bless this time together. Lord, help us study this word. Help me teach and preach this, how you put it on my heart. Love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1 through 3. So not a lot of verses this morning, but that's okay. 11, 1 through 3. Let's read together. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Everybody say amen? Amen. Amen. So if you have your sermon notes, if you don't have any, Glenn can get you some if you're taking notes. This chapter of Hebrews is famously called the Faith Hall of Fame. And it presents a long list of names of people who please God. And that's what I've entitled the sermon today, is the faith that pleases God. Now, like I joked about earlier, it kind of seems like a lineup of God's superheroes. So we're going to get into this, but this morning we're just going to stay in verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, these verses all have one thing in common with you and me. It's problems. And some of these folks had big time problems. And as we all know, life is a series of problems. Can I get amen? Amen. It seems like when one problem's over, we know, or at least I know, this is great, everything's going good, but I know something's coming around the corner. So I try to keep the right mind frame about that. So from studying these heroes, in this 11th chapter, we find that they all have something in common. Problems, yes. But God wants to work through us like he did through them in focusing on faith. Okay? So that's where we're going in this Faith Hall of Fame chapter. The most important aspect of our Christian life is not just, you know, coming to church. It's not just studying the Bible and memorizing scriptures. It's not really just prayer, which all those things are very important in walking, you know, victorious in the Christian life. The most important thing in walking a Christian life is faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this message is about how do we please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit, but it clears it up, and I'll read it. It says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And that's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Now, in these three verses that we're going to go over this morning, it teaches us that faith pleases God. The faith that pleases God must have three components. And these are the three components. Okay, the right substance, the right source, and the right science. So stay with me on this, okay? The right substance, the right source, and the right science. So let's take a look at the first one, the right substance. Now, I know there's really no definition of faith in the Bible. But however, verse 1, when we look at it, gives us an excellent description of the faith that pleases God. So verse 1, now faith is assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And we look at the word translated assurance, which some of your Bibles say substance. You know, faith is the substance. Assurance, this means that which stands under. That's what that means. When you look at that in the Greek, it means that that stands under. In other words, the foundation. You know, this is our foundation. And faith is the firm ground on which we stand as we wait on God and He fulfills His promises. Okay? Faith gives us a sixth sense. Like non-believers, you know, only have five senses. And we all remember that from school, right? And those can deceive. Those five senses can be a little deceptive. But however, God, in leading us in faith, can't be deceived. It says that we can be certain of the hope of eternal life. Now in Titus 1:2, so if you're taking notes, Titus 1:2 says, in hope, you see that? In hope of eternal life, which God never lies, promised before the ages begin. So God can't lie, and He promised us eternal life for those who believe in Him. Now, faith gives us assurance. Okay, faith gives us assurance to invisible and intangible realities that cannot be detected by our five senses. So He gives us assurance. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, someone famously said, faith sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and touches the intangible. Everybody think about that. And also faith, remember we're talking about faith, this is Hebrews chapter 11, faith is our eyes and our ears and our hands of our soul. Now, let me get into something here that I find very interesting, so hang with me. It is not, and some of you, this is going to set you free from some old garbage, so hang with me. It is not the amount of faith, but the object of our faith that makes the difference. I'm going to say that again. So hang with me. Doing Bible study here, right? Teaching, preaching. It is not the amount of faith, but the object of our faith that makes the difference. Let me give you kind of a silly example. Let's say that there's a pond behind my house, and it's been freezing, and it's been 30-something degrees for a month or so. And the water is frozen. And it's probably a good foot or two frozen. You know, I'm just making this up. But, you know, a foot or two frozen, solid. And I think, you know what? I'm going to walk across my pond. Because, you know, really think about it. How many of you guys can walk on water? You know, we can, can't we? You can walk on water. I can walk on water. So if it's frozen, you know, 2 foot, we can walk on water. H2O, you know, H2O. All right, so here we go, right? So I have faith that I'm going to walk on water. I have faith that I'm going to walk across my pond. So how much faith do I need when I know it's 2 foot thick, frozen? But I have faith, so I'm going to take off and walk across that pond. Pretty confident, get to the other side. Well, let's back up that scenario, and let's say that it's only been kind of cold, about 40 degrees for about 2 or 3 weeks, and there's a little bit of ice on that pond, about a 3 or 4 inches, you know. But I want to walk on water. I want to walk across my pond and get to the other side. I still have faith to do this, but how am I going to do it now? I'm going to tiptoe. I'm going to maybe get on my hands and knees, and I'm going to, you know, like crawl across real easy. And I may even just kind of break through some of the points in the middle and get down out of the water. Now, what's the difference? The faith. Did I have faith in myself and my ability, or did I have faith in the object, the ice? Now, did the amount of my faith or the object of my faith make the difference? You see, in the same way, it's not the amount of our faith that pleases God, it's the object of our faith. Really think about that. Let that get in your spirit. I try not to talk about folks and denominations and things, but there are folks out there who put an emphasis on us having the amount of faith that we need. You know, like, you know, I want to get into name calling here. That's just not good. But there are folks, and Christian believers can be condemned when they think they don't have enough faith to do certain things, or certain things happen, you know. And so that kind of teaching puts more of the faith on us and our amount of faith. I have great faith. I have big faith. And then that could even fall into, I can do this. You know, you can do it. I can do it. You know, that kind of thing. So, no, I shouldn't have said that. But some of you know what I'm talking about. I shouldn't have, you know. The thing that Hebrews 11 is teaching us is that Jesus Christ must be the object of our faith, because He is the assurance or the substance of the things hoped for. He is the substance. He is the foundation of our faith. Not in me and what I can do or don't do, or how much supersonic hyper faith that I have or don't have. It's all about Jesus. It's all about our faith in Him. He is the foundation. He is our assurance. He is the substance. Remember the ice? Remember the ice? It's not faith in faith. And it's not even faith in works. And we all know that. We've cleared that up several weeks ago. Not our works, but it's all about the finished work of Christ on Calvary. Everybody with me? All right, so Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 talks about that finished work of Christ. Galatians 2, 16. It says, yet we know, I like the way he starts that out, right? Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Make sense? No one. Me, you, anybody. Because none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all goof up. So it has nothing to do with our works. It's all about what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, remember the word assurance or substance means, remember it means that which stands under. Faith is a substance. That substance means what stands under me. What is under me? What is my foundation? What stands under you? What holds you up? Is it possessions, popularity, or position? If any of that is what we're standing on or you're standing on, you are walking on thin ice. And it's not the faith that pleases God. And it's definitely not the faith that's going to hold you up during those times when we go through trials. Amen? However, if your substance, that you're standing on that's holding you up, if it's Jesus Christ and only Him, then you have the faith that pleases God. And you have the faith that will see you through your challenging times. And you know it's not about you or me. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. So Paul says, above everything, he hopes and prays that folks would grow in their knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. Amen? Now, you may say, well, I don't have enough faith to hold me up. Here's a story. One day a man asked Jesus to heal his son. His son had lost the ability to speak and he had convulsions. Remember that story of Mark? Mark chapter 9. Jesus says, all things are possible for the one who believes. And then you look at the next scripture, it says, Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, this man was crying out saying, I believe, but I don't have enough faith. Now listen closely. Do you know what Jesus did right then? He healed that man's son. You see, it is not about the amount of faith that really matters. It's the object of the faith. You see, Jesus was the object of his faith. This man had little faith, even admitted in front of everybody. This man had little faith. But guys, a little faith, little teeny little faith, in the hands of a great God, can do great things. Amen? So, faith that pleases God requires the right substance. And that's Jesus Christ. And then it moves on to number two. Number two, the right source. Now, we look at verse 1 again. I know I'm taking my time here, but this is verse 1 again. Everybody good? Say amen. Verse 1 also tells us faith is the conviction or the evidence. Everybody say evidence. Evidence of things not seen. This means that we have confidence that God will fulfill His promises even though we don't see any physical evidence. We can't see it. But we know, okay, that this is going to happen. We don't need, now listen to this, we don't really need faith until we have problems that we can't handle on our own. Isn't that right? Most people, that's the way it works. Why does God allow us, even as Christians and followers, for sure, why does He allow us to go through problems? So our faith will grow. Peter writes to the believers who are having serious trials and tribulations and problems. He explains the trials will show the genuineness of their faith. And he goes on to say, which is more precious than gold. Let me read it to you. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. Let me read it. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness, the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that perishes through, is tested by fire. And this is what he goes on to say, the last part of that scripture. May be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As trials reveal the true quality of our faith. trials reveal the true quality of our faith. Those folks in Hebrews chapter 11, their faith was increased because they had problems and trials. And their faith pleased God. Now let's look in verse 2. Verse 2 says, it tells us why the people of old received their commendation. And that were, or approval. They received God's approval. And they received God's approval because their problems didn't cause them to lose faith in God's promises. Faith, okay, faith believes God's promises in the Bible. Now listen to this. I believe this. The primary target in this end days now, the primary target of today's culture is the Bible. Some of you know, you pay attention to, you know, I mean, it's been going on in the universities for decades now, you know. The more people want to sin, the more they attack and pervert the Word of God. I mean, it broke my heart. This wasn't fake news. This was a real news thing where there's a church out there who thinks they can come to church naked. Now, that sounds kind of funny, but they were serious. Could you imagine the ability to pervert the Word of God? I know I thought about not saying that, but I just want to put it out there. There's some wickedness and evil that's going on in the world. Now, I'm going to refrain from making a joke about that because it just wouldn't be appropriate, Adam, right? But that's just weird. But I couldn't resist, could I? Even putting it out there. But that's weird. And that's so perverted and how the devil perverts the Word of God. You see, Satan has been using the same tactic from the beginning of time. This is how he brought sin into the world. We all remember the story in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman," did God actually say, "you shall not eat of any tree in the garden"? You see, Satan's been twisting the Word of God. He twisted it then, and he tricked Adam and Eve, and they lost their faith in God's promises. See, guys, we need, especially right now at this, I believe, the end times, we need to always remember. Everybody, in the sound of my voice, please remember that God is faithful and He keeps His promises. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, which is our memory verse for the week, it says this, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." In 1 Peter 1:25 says this, 1 Peter 1:25 says, "But the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you." Now this means the word of God will always be powerful, and His word will always be relevant. Because the Bible has the same character as its source, the eternal, almighty, never-changing God. Micah 3:6 says this. Micah 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." So here we go. The components of faith that really pleases God are the right substance, which is Jesus Christ as our foundation. The right source, which is the Word of God that does not change. Okay, and then the third one, the last one, is the right science. The right science. Now, the word science basically means knowledge. Okay, that faith pleases God has science. And the science is the faith in a creator. The faith in a creator. Faith not only lets us know where we're going in the future, but also lets us know and tells us where we have been in the past and where we come from in the past. Amen. That's all right. I'd like to have 20 kids like that, wouldn't y'all? Amen. Don't worry, it's all good. All right, let's go to verse 3. Verse 3 says, we are told that by faith we understand that the universe, here we go, we're getting into science now, that the universe was created by the Word of God. All right, let's read it again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. So that, everybody say so that. So that what is seen was not made of things that are visible. Now think about that. This is one of the most fascinating scientific comments about atoms and molecules. And yet, this was written thousands of years before they really knew anything about atoms and molecules. See, God created the heavens and the earth, which is basically the universe and whatever else is out there that keeps on expanding and expanding and expanding. And we're all familiar with Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God did what? He created the heavens and the earth. And most of us know that that word created in the Hebrew, that word created means to make or create out of nothing. Therefore, when something is created, it is spoken into being. I know you guys have heard this, so just all right. Just let me brush off some cobwebs, and right. God is the only creator because only He can create something out of nothing. Psalms 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their hosts. All right, so whatever a person believes about the origin of the universe, they have to believe it by faith. Think about that. Some believe we are here as a result of a big bang. Well, I want you to know, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe, please look at them. I believe that God spoke and bang, it came into being. Amen? You see, but all, and I'm being silly, sorry. But all seriousness, you know, a person who is placing their belief in these theories is like believing an explosion in a print shop. There's this explosion in a print shop, and though there's a dictionary. Or believing that is as foolish as believing that there's an explosion in a junkyard, and voila, there's a Boeing 747 jet. It's ridiculous. It don't even make sense. It's not even common sense. That's why the Bible says only a fool would say there's no God. I choose to believe in the inspired, infallible Word of God. Amen? And, listen to this, and it's not a matter of faith versus knowledge. Okay? It really comes down to this. Hang with me. I like this little part. I'm weird about this. I like science stuff. It really comes down to faith in chance or faith in a creator. That's really what it comes down to. Now, really think about this. Which of the following two equations requires the most faith? Are y'all ready? Ready? Which one? Nothing times nothing equals everything. which requires the most faith now, that or a creator times nothing equals everything. Which requires more faith? You see, it takes less faith to believe in a creator than just by chance. Now, I'm going to say a very powerful statement. I want you to remember this. You ready? People choose what they want to believe about creation based on the lifestyle they want to live. I'm going to say that again. People choose what they believe about creation based on the lifestyle they want to live. If they want to live in sin or to follow the lustful desires of the flesh, they don't want to have to answer to a creator. They don't want to have to be accountable to someone. They want to be disobedient and do whatever they want to do. Guys, the Word of God, and especially in Hebrews, it tells us the proof of faith that pleases God is obedience. We talked about a little bit of that last week. The proof of faith that pleases God is obedience. If we say we have faith in God, we will do what He says. Amen? You see, all the people that's listed in the book of Hebrews, these superheroes, okay, they all had faith and they obeyed God's word. They were obedient to what God was instructing them to do. But, you know, I'll close here. You see, faith alone is not enough to please God. James chapter 2, verse 17 says that real clear. And I'll read it. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You see, we're not saved by faith, are we? We're saved by Christ, through our faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ being our foundation, being what's underfoot. So it's all about Jesus. Amen? So, faith that pleases God must have the right substance, which is Jesus Christ, the right source, which is the Word of God, and the right science. It's a belief in the Creator, God Almighty, who created the universe. Whew. Right? Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that we can rest in You. Lord, we thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, and that we can place our faith in Him and have an eternal home in heaven. And Father, that everything we do, our being, and everything we do in this life, Lord, we can trust that You are our foundation, that it's not up to us and our willpower and our determinations or any of that. But Father, yes, we do need to have works with our faith, but our faith is in You, Jesus. It's all in You and everything You do. Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know You as Christ, as Savior, Lord, during this song of invitation, I just pray for them, Father. They can accept Christ right there in their pew, or they can walk out this aisle and come down. I'll be glad to talk to them. In Jesus' name, amen.